You have arrived at your destination.
I know more about Dragon Ball at this point than I fucking should.
Because of a fucking podcast, man. All System Goku. Game of the year? Is it a new year already here?
We made it.
We made it another year. It'll be out. It'll be out this week. So still 2018. This is the last podcast of the year.
Yep.
For the Video Destruct Podcast. It's time for the Video Destruct Podcast. I forgot the intro.
Branding.
Branding. Gotta get branding down. It's time for the Video Destruct Podcast. Last one of the year. Hoss. Yep. Which means it's our Game of the Year wrap up and Game Awards and all that fun stuff.
We have music for this.
Sure, I'll put some in. There was. Yeah.
Game of the year. Game of the year. It's time for the game of the year.
Should I just put like some real depressing on? Boom, boom, boom. But yeah, it's time for the Game of the Year awards by Hoss and me, sort of. But mostly you, because you played way more games than I did. But we've got the awards. You got all your awards like all stacked out. And then we're going to wrap it up with your top 10 games of the year of things that were really good and lots of fun and things that might have been disappointing and bad and things that we'd never want to see again in the year 2019 and beyond.
This was the year, I would say, since we've been doing this. This is our fourth or fifth game of the year thing. We've been at this for a bit.
Yeah.
I would say that this is a year that had the most balance and quality.
Mm.
Like, last year specifically, my top five, easy to lock in.
Yeah.
And then everything else from there was kind of, you know, like, that was good.
Right.
That was good, but, you know, there's a lot of series that kind of came roaring back that, you know, I had long since kind of just said, well, that's fine. I'll touch Call of Duty occasionally.
Right.
But that game, you know, Black Ops 4, like, all the stuff that, my worst fears were like no campaign, you know, like a bunch more zombie stuff that I don't like, and a bad battle royale.
Yeah,
and no, the battle royale was awesome.
Yeah,
and it honestly, I would give them $40 or $50 for just Blackout.
Yeah,
it's that good.
It is. It's probably the most polished, best of that type of game.
Yeah, like, it's funny solid. When a company with more money than God shows up and says, oh, this thing that all these little guys have been doing, let's try to futz around with that.
Let's try and make that something interesting, and yeah, lo and behold.
And considering this was a year where Battlegrounds took its lumps.
Yeah.
You know, they made a lot of bad decisions this year. Although that new map, Vikendi,
is
very, very good.
Is it good? Yeah.
I hope that that's a sign that they're turning Battlegrounds back around again. But, like, you know, a lot of their battle pass stuff and just the way that they were trying to bleed money out of people, it's like, guys, come on.
It's,
but it's, they seem to be turning that around, which is good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great year for video games.
It was kind of a big flip, you know. It was this year because like there was a little bit late last year and going into this year, it was very much EA had that thing of like we're gonna do everything that's gonna be online content now because the packaged games are dead. Nobody really wants those anymore. And then the biggest sellers of the year: God of War, Red Dead, Spider-Man. Like it just. And those are all, they have downloadable content, sure, and there's an online for Red Dead, but it's a packaged game that everyone wanted, so
it
sort of flipped on its head a little bit.
The democratization, I would say, of the model that I guess we're calling games as a service.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Is fine, but you end up with a situation where everybody cut cable.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to just have Netflix and maybe something else.
Right. Well,
the problem is all these services are all breaking apart and you're going to have the Disney service and Hulu and Netflix.
Right.
At a certain point, you're paying more than you would have paid for cable.
Right.
So, like, a lot of people gravitated towards games as a service because it's an ongoing thing. This can be the game that I play.
Right, yeah.
And that's awesome.
Sure.
But you end up, if you're not careful with the way that you try to bleed money out of people, you can cause a revolt.
Right.
And also, people only have so much room in their life
for
a game that's the only game that they play.
Right.
So it's nice to see your Splinter Cells, your Red Deads, your God of Wars come out and still be a very big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It also, you know, it's weird that it's been like 5 years since Grand Theft Auto V.
Yeah.
But, and that game continues to live on because of its service.
Yeah.
But whether Red Dead Online ever catches on or not, that game has made its statement.
Right, yeah.
That story matters.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's good, because, like, again, like, as you said, games as a service totally can work, and it can totally be a product.
But there's only so much room.
There's only so much room.
It's very competitive.
And it's very competitive, and you need to have your staples, your one-shot staples that still exist. Those things will always make you good money. So,
friend of the show, JT, we've never actually had him on a podcast. I'd love to get him on sometime.
We should get him on a podcast.
But, you know, he's got a game as a service that... I played for a little bit, but he and all of his friends play fervently World of Warships.
World of Warships, yeah.
That's your very a game as a service kind of thing because it's free, but then like they charge you for ships and currency and all this other kind of stuff. You can grind out almost everything.
Right.
But like at a certain point, he doesn't even blink at the idea of, I paid $50 for this ship.
Right.
Because
he's been playing this game
for years.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's the kind of thing where it's why I never even question, like, when a Forza game comes out, I just buy everything.
Yeah.
Because for me, that game is kind of a service.
Yeah.
For the next year, they're going to keep giving me cars and tracks and content and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm fine because I'm satisfied with what I'm getting.
Yeah.
And EA is going to make a play with Anthem to see if they can do it.
You know, this might be a good episode topic, actually. Games as a service versus, you know... collapsed game experience, you know? It might be a good topic to go on.
Well, and...
We could probably talk for an hour about that.
Yeah, I could easily talk for an hour about that. But I mean, like, you know, you look at something like Destiny that is trying to play in both ponds.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That game, whether you like it or not, and I don't like the narrative, that game is, especially too, is very narratively heavy.
You don't like the Space Wizards?
No. I love that game. We've actually been playing Destiny again, and the new Forsaken expansion is great. It's an awesome, you know, continuation of that game. It makes Destiny 2 way better, and the content is very, very good, but, like, I can give a fuck less about the story, but they're trying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank God they killed Nathan Fillion in that game. I love Nathan Fillion.
I do, too. He's not...
I said it on the show many times. Stop casting him as a voice actor. He's bad at it.
I don't think they direct him very well in those video games. It's hard to direct video game voice acting.
Without his body language, his smarm doesn't do it.
If you don't have his face. And he's like, the dude he plays has no face. And it's like, he's not charming when he's saying stuff.
And he gets some of the, like, swagger of him, but it ends up just coming off as, like, disingenuous and shitty.
Right, exactly. So,
yeah, I mean, we'll return to that games as a service kind of thing because
I think that'll work.
That's all going to come to a head. Much like, did anybody subscribe to CBS All Access? Yeah. No, and I really want to fucking watch that Star Trek show. Goddammit. Just put it on TV.
I know, right?
Is it that hard?
The new Picard show is going to be on there too, and it's like, I want to watch the Picard show. I don't care about Destiny, but or Discovery, but Picard show I want to watch. I don't know what it's going to be called.
I want to watch Discovery. I mean, I like Star Trek.
Sure. Yeah.
So stupid. I agree. But I've only got so much room in my life.
Yeah.
All right. So this is going to date this podcast a lot.
Okay. Sure.
Did you see the trailer for the Black Mirror, like, choose your own adventure thing that comes out tomorrow?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. That looks really interesting.
That is, like, so ingrained in my interest. A, it's Black Mirror. B, it's 1980s.
Yeah.
C, it's computer games in the 1980s. Oh, yeah.
And choose your own adventure stuff. Which
was it called Balderdash?
Good. Yeah, Balderdash, I think is what it was.
I am so into that idea. Oh, I'm excited.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Let's.
We'll talk about what I thought about it next time. And if I come back here and I'm really bummed out, it's because it wasn't good.
Because that wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Which Black Mirror can tend to do at certain points.
That last season was pretty good.
It was a good season.
The Star Trek episode was very good.
USS Callister was good.
Yeah, that was a very good episode.
That was good with Fat Damon.
Yeah.
Guy looks like Fat Matt Damon. I thought it was Matt Damon.
It is Matt Damon.
No, it's not. It's not Matt Damon.
Matt Damon's in that episode.
No. The guy who's the captain, it's not Matt Damon. He looks exactly like Matt Damon, but he's not Matt Damon.
That's not Matt Damon?
It's not Matt Damon. I thought it was totally
him. You're fucking kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. I swear to God, I was right with you. I thought it was Matt Damon.
Huh.
It's not him. He looks exactly like Matt Damon.
Fooled me.
Anyway.
I thought that's good casting.
Yeah, me too. Anyway. Even sounds like him. But yeah, let's get into.
Let's start with your. Or do you want to wait until I do my top 10? Like, you know, you've got your selection.
I got my selection. I'm looking at your top 10 stuff that I play that's not on there. It could be on there. Some things that aren't, and some things that could be.
Have you played Monster Boy yet?
I haven't played Monster Boy. No.
I'm hearing that might be the biggest missed.
Oh wait. Monster Boy. Yeah.
The new one that just...
Oh, no, I'm thinking Wonder Boy. Well, sorry.
This is the sequel to that.
Oh, no, I haven't played Monster Boy. No. Yes. No, I haven't played Monster Boy. Yeah.
So, it's apparently amazing.
Is it?
It okay. runs on that same tech that right. they made Wonder Boy with.
Right.
But it's not based on an old game. It's actually it's the first new game in that series in a long time. It's apparently amazing. You can change from, like, 6 or 7 different monsters.
That sounds fabulous.
It sounds amazing.
That sounds fabulous.
So, who knows? Maybe that'll be my... Mm-hmm. 2019's 2018 game right. of the year.
There you go. Some of the games that I'm going to mention, let's see. The Spider-Man game, I really enjoyed that one a lot. That was, I played through all that.
You beat the game?
I beat the game. I didn't play through all of it. Obviously, there's lots to play. But I borrowed that from a friend, played through that whole thing. That was a lot of fun. My roommate was out of town for a long time, so I got to use the PS4.
As he does.
As he does. I'm going to go ahead and say, I bet Octopath Traveler is on my list. I've yet to play it. I just got it for Christmas, and I haven't played it yet. But I'm going to go ahead and say, probably on my top 10 list, just because it's
that game was very, very close to being on my list, but then I played Mega Man 11.
Oh, yeah, which was shocking. Yeah, you really enjoyed Mega Man 11.
I couldn't not have that game on my top 10.
It's a solid Mega Man entry, and I really like that one, too.
And I'm a Humble Bundle subscriber.
Yes.
And they gave me last month the first Legacy Collection, mm-hmm. so I'm going to try to play Mega Man 2.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm going to try it.
Going to try out Mega Man 2. Mega Man 2 is probably my favorite game of all time. Probably is my favorite game of all time.
I'm going to try it.
That would be interesting.
Last time that I played that game myself
was
renting it from a Blockbuster when I was like 10. So.
Yeah. I think
I was able to beat some bosses in that game. I never beat it.
With modern day mentality, I think you'll enjoy it. So
my horizons have widened.
Right,
in the last few years, I went from guy who always played bro shooters and racing games. At this point, I kind of play everything.
There's a lot of good indie stuff that happens. Speaking of which, Return of the Obra Dinn. Haven't finished it yet.
Almost made it to my list.
Definitely a phenomenal game.
I wanted to make like a fucking weird graphics category, something for that to win something.
Right? Intriguing art design. I think that would be either this or Gris would be fantastic for that. Gris
is cool.
I've yet to play Gris. It's on my Switch right now. I know it's like 3 hours, so I just kind of want to like just play it in one go and just do that.
It's a game. It's kind of like Journey.
Yeah.
In the sense that like just. Sit down, finish it.
Enjoy it, yeah. It seems like that type. But Obra Dinn's definitely on there, too. Wander Song, I would have to put on there as well.
We're talking about that last podcast?
Last podcast, yeah. It has a great cel-shaded Paper Mario kind of look to it. Beautiful game, absolutely gorgeous. And it has very cool color coordination with music, which is very interesting. So it should everybody should check that one out, I think, too. That's on the Switch as well, and on Steam, I want to say. Yeah,
but I think it's on everything.
Yeah, I think it's on all the stuff. So,
Most stuff.
Yeah, I got it. You know, I played a lot more of that Smash Brothers Ultimate. I haven't played a Smash Bros in a long time. I know you don't like that series, but I enjoy that series a lot. I haven't played Smash Bros. It might play exactly like the Wii U version. I don't know because I never really played the Wii U version. But that's back to like kind of the solid like. Very fluid style of gameplay that I really enjoyed from the originals and everything. So I really liked Smash Bros. Ultimate, and just having a plethora of everybody on it was just sort of like a nice playground. So and it had Jump Up in the freaking Odyssey song, and that's always an up for me. I'm sorry, any game that has that and Odyssey was last year, right?
Yeah, it was last year.
So, but yeah.
Is Odyssey your 2018, 2017 game of the year?
Yeah, it probably is. I really liked Odyssey.
Did you play much Zelda this year?
I didn't play a lot of Zelda this year, but it was, you know, like, I need to finish that game. I need to go back and finish that.
That's a very, very good game.
It's a solid game. It's a solid game. I definitely would say that.
I would recommend it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've played through a lot of it. I just haven't... I've played it a lot, but I haven't played through much of it. I would say that. I just explored a lot. So, it was very interesting. And I think that... Oh, The Messenger was interesting. I liked that one, too. That was cool.
The way that game changes about halfway through...
You mentioned that. I never got to the halfway
point.
Real
good.
Yeah, I never got to the halfway point. I was in the Ninja Gaiden-esque era.
Yep.
And then it kind of goes into a Metroidvania or a...
And it's it goes to like a 16-bit graphics.
Mm.
And there are parts of it where it will juxtaposition between 8 and 16-bit color palettes.
Yeah.
As you go through these portals between... It's very cool. Oh, that game is very, very
cool.
That
sounds really awesome. I want to check that out.
Yeah, that game, I think it overstays its welcome a little bit.
Mm.
In the first like 4 hours of that game, if you had asked me like, what do you think about this game? But Game of the Year! it kind of overstayed its welcome and kind of ran out of tricks too early, but it's very good.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I guess one of the bigger disappointments, because I was kind of excited for A Way Out. Whatever. The worst part about A Way Out is the writing. It was literally every movie from the, like, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Friggin' Scarface. Like, it's just like every single action or movie oriented part of that movie was pulled from not even like an obscure movie, like a very recognizable, like, this is just Scarface. Like,
you know
what's
funny?
This is just Shawshank. Like, what?
I can't remember the Clint Eastwood movie that they were lampooning with this.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of that game when they were still in jail that was Naked Gun 33 and a third.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Yes, it was. It was very much... Because, like, one of the guys kind of looks like... What's his name from Tremors 2? He looks dead up like him. So it was like, oh, yeah. So it really... kind of harkened back to that, too. So, I don't know. It was very Shawshank.
I kept waiting for the scene where, like, so he's bizarre. Eating the plan. He's like, what do you think of the plan?
What do you think of the plan?
It's a good plan.
It's a good plan.
It's perfect.
It's a good plan.
I've had better. Oh, Leslie Nielsen, a comic genius.
Love that stuff.
Miss that man.
Good stuff. He's a national treasure, that man.
Yes.
But my game of the year, because you got the more important one. You played a lot more games. My game of the year goes to Dragon Ball FighterZ. Absolutely love Arc Systems fighting games. I think they're gorgeous. I think they're beautiful. They're easy to pick up, easy to play, and they're a good time. So there you go, Dragon Ball FighterZ.
The one thing that's funny about that game is
yeah.
that, like, recently they announced some new characters.
Yeah.
One of them was goddamn Goku. Like,
yeah, right, yeah.
Eventually they're going to have to call that game, like, Oops All Gokus.
Oops All the Gokus, yeah. That was very disappointing. It was like, yeah, it's like they're
like Captain Crunch, Oops All Berries, like, Oops All Gokus.
Oops, Captain Crunch, Oops All Berries. Oh, no. It's like,
something happened in the factory. They're all Gokus.
They're all Gokus now. Son of a bitch. Yeah, that is a little bit irritating when it's like, oh, you got this new character coming in, sweet, and I say, and another Goku. Fuck. Like, I don't care. Like, there's seven of them. Because then you need your team of all Gokus when you're going to play. That's the whole...
Can we get another version of Future Trunks? Nope, more Gokus.
Nope, more Gokus. Can we get Android 17? Nope, more Gokus.
Oops.
Oops, more Gokus. Oh.
So stupid. But yeah, I really like Dragon Ball FighterZ. Like,
yeah.
if I lived in a situation where I could... I don't like playing fighting games online.
Sure. Yeah, no, I get it.
And I didn't think the story mode in that game was that great.
No, it's not good at all.
I was happy that it wasn't just, here's the Cell Saga.
Right, that is true. It wasn't the same thing. Because
every fucking new Dragon Ball game for the last 25 years is just...
Is that.
Remember Frieza?
Remember when you fought Frieza on Namek? Yeah, I do. I do remember that. It's been ingrained in my head for
a while.
Remember
that dude that wants to have a wrestling tournament that turns stuff into chocolate?
Yeah, I do.
He showed up.
He showed up too, so... All right, cool.
I know more about Dragon Ball at this point than I fucking should.
A fucking podcast, man. All System Goku. Like,
worst trend of 2018, me knowing more about Dragon Ball.
Best podcast of the year, All Systems Goku.
Yes, they're back making episodes again.
Are they?
Yeah, they took a break, but they're back making new ones.
Nice.
So.
I need to get back on that.
Yeah, so. I started watching Dragon Ball.
Did you? That's interesting. Don't know why you would do that.
I don't like it.
No, I don't know why you would do that. Like,
but, I mean, like, there's parts of it, like, Ginyu Force.
Yeah,
Ginyu Force. Guys are fucking great.
Ginyu Force are great. Ginyu Force are awesome.
Like, all posing?
Yeah, they pose, like, Super Sentai. Great. Yeah, it's a good time. Anyway, that's my list. In no real particular order other than my number one, which is Dragon Ball FighterZ. What is your list, Haas? What do you got for
I've
us?
I've got one guest contributor.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Who gave me a top three.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says everything else sucked this year.
Three games. That's all I got out of this year.
It's my friend Steve, mm-hmm. Friend of the show.
Right on.
His number three was Spider-Man.
Okay.
Number two was God of War.
Mm-hmm.
Number one was Red Dead 2.
Okay. Gotcha.
So just wanted to... Boom. I'd put some feelers out for some people to give me some games of the year.
Yeah.
Talk to Gus, another friend of the show.
Yeah.
He said he didn't play anything from this year yet.
Oh, wow.
He's got this habit that's the smartest thing that you can do.
Yeah.
He's a year behind on everything, so he buys it all at the sale.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which is smart. Like, he's not playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. He's playing Rise of the Tomb Raider right,
right
now.
Right, yeah. So, like, he's playing Rise of the Tomb Raider. You know, he'll get to Shadow.
Yeah, once it's on sale.
Once it's on sale.
That game actually has been on really good sale lately. Mm-hmm. It didn't make my list. It's not the best of those.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for something to scratch that Uncharted-y kind of itch, game's regularly been like less than $30 lately.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm thinking that game maybe didn't sell as
as they wanted it to. Yeah. It's possible. No.
But yeah, let's do kind of our superlative categories first. I always like to start out with those.
Let's do those then.
So, best new intellectual property.
Yes, best new IP.
It doesn't mean that it's something that is going to start a series or anything.
Full franchise or anything, but just something that's new and, you know, that was put out there.
Yeah, there was a lot of really good stuff this year that was new. Celeste comes to mind pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
But yeah, my best new intellectual property ended up being Dead Cells.
Dead Cells.
You know, if that game could also start knocking out, like, several categories. Best action game.
Yeah.
You know, best side-scroller.
Right,
Best Metroidvania. I mean, you know, best roguelike.
Yeah, best roguelike.
You know, and, like, Nastiest Obsession.
Right.
That's a game that's, it's just, it's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
I had played that game first back when it was in early access, like, mm-hmm. a year and a half ago.
Right.
I thought, like, this game is coming together pretty well. I didn't know how much more work they were going to put in their ramp.
Right.
To the point where, so once you start beating the game,
right,
that game changes the way that its ramp works.
Yeah,
to where you need to start speedrunning the game to start unlocking
more stuff. So you have to start getting time trials to get more.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
It's very well done, and it's just a hell of a thing, man. I love it. I think that game has a great look.
Mm-hmm.
I think no matter where that you play it. They actually ended up going back and they did a lot more work to that Switch version.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit of frame rate-y kind of stuff in that version, but I hear that they have hemmed all that up.
Right.
So that's, God, that would, I bought it on PC, but that's a game that I could totally see myself with the right sale going back and buying again on Switch.
Sure.
Just to take it with me.
Yeah, yeah, just take it where you want, yeah.
But with it not being a cross-save thing, I got a ton of hours in that game. but, you know, it'd be worth it to start again.
Yeah.
That game is hell of a thing, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want them to make another one.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see what that creative team does next.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, that studio now immediately has my attention.
There you go. Cool. Dead Cells. Boom. Probably will be a franchise as well. That sold really well, if I remember right.
It did sell quite well.
Yeah.
And
pretty big.
I think that, you know, if you haven't touched it, you should.
Yeah. I will definitely pick that one up for sure. With my holiday money, so
and
a lot of cash. So,
you hooked that computer up yet?
That's going this weekend. Going up this weekend. Okay. Yeah. So
need to hook that computer.
I got
a bunch of games for
right. Me. I had all these these video projects lined up from work, and like I wanted to finish those off, so I didn't have to like drag files over in file storage. So
they make external hard drives.
I know, but the way it's structured, you have to load the program, and then you have to load them specifically into these specific folders, and I'm just like, fuck it, I'm just going to finish this off now, then hug the computer, and then I have to deal with it. So that's what I'm doing. So this weekend, I'm done with all that stuff, so it's going up. So
nice.
And I will have a new brand new PC with lots of game room for Hollow Knight and all that other good stuff. So, yeah. Next up.
Best Remaster.
Best Remaster.
Burnout Paradise posted this year.
There we go.
It's arguably the best game of last generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the consoles and on PC.
Yeah.
It's 4K optimized.
Yeah.
It looks really good. The game's art assets were nice enough that at those resolutions, it looks great. It's mm-hmm. still 60 FPS no matter where you play it.
Mm-hmm.
You can even buy a base console like an Xbox One or a PS4. It's 1080p,
yeah.
60 FPS. It just looks great. It's the best version of that game that's ever been done.
Yeah.
And I was really excited when it came out because it was at that time of the year, like spring. It wasn't a really big spring like they normally are for game releases. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people that I know that maybe wouldn't have gave that game a shot ended up picking it up because it was on sale a lot.
Right.
That game just fucking rips, man. It's, yeah. If you haven't played Burnout Paradise, you need to. I think it's on sale for $10 this week at GameStop.
It gave us an episode this year. We had a whole episode on it. So.
Well, it's...
Yeah. And the Burnout series in general.
It's the best arcade racing franchise ever.
There you go.
Boom. Period.
There you go.
Best ongoing game. Yeah. Game as a service, ongoing game, sure. Whatever you want to call it.
Right.
As you remember last year, mm-hmm. Destiny 2 did not grab me.
Right.
Destiny 2 was a game that I just...
You weren't alone in that either.
No.
And a lot of people weren't really grabbed by the cojones on that one. It wasn't... it was sort of the same way as the last one. First came out, it was kind of meh. Reception. The expansion came out. People were like, oh, okay. Got it. Now, then the second one came out, kind of meh, and then...
Yeah, this is definitely the culmination of what they were attempting to do.
Yeah.
With Destiny 2. Like, yeah, like, you know, I touched on this a little bit earlier. I'm still not into their narrative stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I think their mission design is better than ever. It's... all the stuff in The Forsaken is great.
Yeah. It's weird to say that the guys that made Halo... can still put together good gameplay. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, and for the first time, I would say that since maybe The Taken King,
mm-hmm.
I think they can make a shooter.
Right.
They can make a game where the shoot-to-shoot feels good.
Sure.
This is the first time where I feel like the level design matches their mastery of the shooty-shoot.
Right, yeah.
It's awesome. Like, we ended up just scooping it up kind of as a goof.
Yeah.
For PC, like, Forsaken.
Yeah.
Because it was like, man, we bought Destiny 2 last year, and I had less than an hour in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had played the PS4 version for maybe 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
And so me and JT are sitting there one night, we're like, let's just go play some Destiny. And over the course of about a week, we kind of clawed our way through Destiny. It's like, well... We didn't have any of the expansions, and we didn't have Forsaken.
Right.
And they announced that if you bought Forsaken, they gave you the other expansions. So,
yeah.
Fine.
Right.
So we bought that, and we bought this year's pass, and we get Black Armory and all this other stuff. It's just great.
Yeah.
It really makes me curious of not what a Destiny 3 is like, but what's Bungie going to do after this?
Yeah.
You know, their contract with Activision is for 10 years.
Right.
And we're, there'll be a Destiny 3 and then maybe an expansion, and then I think they're gone.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what that studio is going to do next because they've really, they're the masters of the ongoing game as something that can still be a potential narrative piece.
Right.
And I think they keep getting closer.
Yeah.
I think this is maybe a bad example because I still think in structure, it's just still too close to Halo and the kind of story that they were trying to tell in Halo.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious if they can go to another space fantasy kind of thing after this. Curious what kind of story they want to tell.
Right.
What
is there left to tell?
if it's...
maybe floating babies in fog worlds, like... In the new
fucking Kojima's...
Kojima's new thing.
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding.
No, if there's one thing that I will give them props for, Bungie has no illusions that they're an auteur.
Right, yeah.
They're just a company that makes games.
Right,
And they like the shooty shoot. Yeah. And they're really like good at it.
They're real good at that.
And they did a lot to even out the ramp, which I think is probably the best compliment that I can give to them. In Destiny 2, you get to this point, like, in pure Destiny 2, you get to this point where, all right, I've done all the story missions.
Yeah.
And then you hit a cliff. Right. Where it's like, all right, so the raid is way up here.
Right.
And then I can sort of do these strikes.
Yeah.
But you just have to grind the same four strikes forever to get the gear that will get you anywhere close to being able to do the raid.
Right.
So it just kind of left you in this weird no man's land for like a while.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't satisfying. And they've definitely, they tweaked their sliders.
Yeah.
So that, you know, as I was doing story missions for Forsaken, even before I got to the point where you could, they even open up strikes to you.
Right.
I'm like, sweet, I'm getting some, just out of nowhere, it's like, that's a really high-level gun.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, like, that, those kind of drops just felt more frequent.
Right.
They weren't trying to just bleed me through a grind.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was great. Yeah, Destiny Forsaken, man, that's a, I don't want to be Anthem, I'll tell you that. it's going to be hard.
Yeah, right.
Because Destiny has almost, it'd be one thing if they could really bring that Destiny 1 content over to Destiny 2.
Right.
They'd really have a thing going, because if you think about it, the reason that World of Warcraft killed everything else in the MMO space is that they had time on their side. Mm-hmm. It's like if you were coming to the MMO game in 2010, 6 years after World of Warcraft had come out, it's like, there's a limitless amount of shit that's already in this other game. Right. How do you even come close to it with content?
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's already got 6 years on you. It doesn't matter. Now it's got, what, 15 years? What's the, how long?
2004, so
yeah,
13.
13 years, yeah.
Almost going on 14, because we're almost 2019.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, like the, that's the thing that Anthem's going to have to deal with is, yeah, like their Iron Man suits look cool and all that other stuff, but Destiny 2 has just a pure amount of content. Mm,
yeah.
That it's going to be hard to,
yeah,
it's going to be hard to pull people away from it. And I would say that the Bungie guys have been very forward about this. And their plan seems designed a little bit more towards this for this year. It's not two content packs this year.
Right.
If you buy their season pass that comes with as an option with Forsaken.
Right.
They said like every month or two, you're going to get something. So, because they have said multiple times, I'm okay if you leave, I just want you to come back.
Right, yeah, yeah. Eventually come back and
so
buy the new stuff.
It's very much against the stranglehold that a lot of people have. Like, if you look away, you'll never look back. You know, like,
yeah, yeah. Like, nobody wants to be not at the top of mind of a consumer, for sure. But the idea of like being like, we got new stuff. Come on back when you're ready. You
know, and Destiny is the kind of game that like it's very, I would say, predisposed to this, because its shooting is so satisfying, and as long as you haven't completely forgotten the controls, you come back, it's like a warm hug from an old friend. It's like, man, this just feels good. You know, we can go a couple of weeks without playing Destiny, and then when we go back, it's like, this still feels good.
It still feels good.
You know, it's, especially on PC, man, that thing running at really high frame rates.
Yeah.
Is it's a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
But no matter where you play it, Destiny 2 Forsaken should probably be on your radar.
Yeah.
Especially if you were let down by Destiny 2 like I was.
Yeah.
Forsaken fixes a lot of that bullshit.
Fixes a lot of that crap, which is not the, it's, that's pretty much the consensus from most people, I feel like. So, there you go. All right. Next up.
Best VR.
Best VR game.
It was a very good year for VR.
Yeah.
We
didn't talk a whole lot about it this year. Last year was kind of the big renaissance of it, let's say.
And I kept kind of slowly plinking away at stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole year. There was
it never went away, for sure. It
was Sony has actually been probably the most active participant with this.
Sure.
Oculus is seeming to be more devoted to their standalone headsets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Than the home VR stuff.
Right.
Which is, it's just a shift in focus. You know, they really seems like their focus is no wires on anything ever.
Right.
And also, you don't need to have a computer.
Yeah. It's just a standalone console itself.
Yeah. It's in the headset.
In the headset, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, the Oculus Go is that, and then the new Oculus thing is a little bit more powerful, and it uses controllers that are just like the touch controllers.
Right.
So you're getting, provided that thing is powerful enough,
yeah,
you're getting a consumer-grade VR solution
yeah.
that still has all the inside-out kind of tracking stuff like the Windows Mixed Reality stuff does.
Yeah.
So you could be anywhere and get, like, a contemporary VR experience.
Right.
Which is potentially cool. I want to see what that new Oculus headset is like.
That would be
I also want to know how much money they want for that, though.
Yeah.
That could potentially get expensive.
That could be very, yeah.
Because those Oculus Touch controllers are $150. We haven't even bought a headset yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe yeah. maybe their goal is to...
Yeah.
They have limitless money. They're Facebook.
Yeah.
So maybe yeah. their goal is to just get it in your hands and then you'll buy games.
Small side, do you think we're going to get a Switch VR type of thing where you slide the Switch in eventually?
I don't think it's powerful enough.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. But it was interesting when they had that patent come out where it was like, this box folds up. And that turned into, what was it called? The box games?
Labo.
Labo. And that basically turned into Labo. And I was like, that's interesting. So,
well, Nintendo doesn't do anything that doesn't make Nintendo a lot of money.
Yeah.
And yeah. Sony is doing good business with mm-hmm. the PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
But I think if you start clogging up that space, you start carving up wallets
yeah.
that already aren't that big to begin with.
True.
I mean, for the last two Christmases, Sony has sold a shitload of PlayStation VRs
right.
because they've discounted it to $199.
Right.
They're not selling them at $400.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's you know, even Oculus is down. I think their MSRP is $399 or $349 now with the controllers.
Right.
So, I mean, everybody is kind of...
It's pretty doable. So.
It is. Like, when yeah. I... together, when I bought it, it was $750.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking of how quickly it became affordable to the normal consumer, so...
Well, it... You have to.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you don't have adopters, if you don't have people playing the stuff, nobody right. makes the software, which means yeah. it's a dead thing.
Yeah.
So you've got to get it in people's hands mm-hmm. to woo yeah. the developers.
Yeah.
So
what's a good solid game that gets people into the VR?
I was down between a few.
Yeah.
So Moss was very good.
Yeah. I've heard of Moss. Yeah.
Third person, mm-hmm. you're a little mouse lady thing.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
In that thing, you're kind of... you're up and away from the character, you're kind of like the omniscient god
right,
of
yeah.
this universe. Kind of
looking down, yeah.
Which is, it's similar to the way that, like, Lucky's Tale did.
Right.
Back early in the Oculus launch.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I thought Moss was very good. I thought Firewall was fascinating.
Yeah.
Firewall is a third-person tactical shooter in VR.
Okay.
Which is very cool, like, especially if you use the PlayStation gun thing, their
yeah.
aim controller.
Sure.
You can blind fire for real in that game. Blind fire always sucks in games.
Yeah, just like turn
because
around. Yeah.
they need to tune the accuracy because in a third-person shooter, I can see over the thing.
Yeah, you can see
but
over
the thing. But in VR, they don't have to tune the accuracy because I literally can't see what I'm shooting at.
You're blind firing.
So you can be out there just fucking spraying and praying. It's
yeah.
really fun.
Yeah.
That game has some performance stuff
mm-hmm.
Here and there, but man, we're getting close to third-person action games being
yeah.
better in VR.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
That's
but yeah,
cool.
I ended up going with Tetris Effect.
Tetris Effect, yeah. I don't know anything about this game. You've talked about it before.
Tetris Effect is, yeah. it's made by Tetsuya Mizuguchi,
mm-hmm.
the Rez guy.
Right, Rez.
So it's Tetris.
Right.
By the guy who made yeah. Synesthesia a thing in video games.
Right,
so
yeah.
it's the same guy who made Rez. He also made Lumines,
mm-hmm.
Which is one of the greatest puzzle games of all time.
Lumines is very
this
cool.
applies that Synesthesia approach to Tetris.
Okay.
So, and it also applies the skins that Lumines has. Like Lumines, as you play it, it changes the skin and the music.
Right.
Well, when you're playing through their, I think it's Fever Mode or whatever, the main story-ish progression of Tetris,
mm-hmm.
You'll have to complete, like, 36 lines.
Yeah.
And then it'll go to the next skin.
Okay.
You don't leave the level. It just reskins everything, changes the music, and fades in a new visual.
Interesting. Okay.
And it just, it sounds so good.
Very
it
cool.
It looks so good. But when you put it in VR, the thing that really starts to make that a great experience is that all around you is the skin. So, like, there's one where you're, you know, basically floating through this, like, space, you know, environment. And if you turn and look to the right,
yeah,
there's a big space whale that's floating past you.
Oh.
And it's, like, all covered in these crazy gems and everything.
Cool.
You feel like you are in Tetris.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Very
and it
cool.
looks so good, and it's a great game that's an example of VR. Much like when I got Wipeout Omega Collection, and that was so good in VR to show somebody what a car game could be
in
VR. I feel like this is an example. You don't immediately think Tetris and think, oh, this would be good in a helmet.
I
want to put a helmet on to play Tetris.
Yeah, exactly.
But it manages to do it incredibly well, and looks so good in VR.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's immersive. And whether you play it in VR or not, it's still a great game. But I think, man, at least play that story mode through in the helmet, and you just feel like you did something.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Very cool. All right.
So, yeah, that was our VR game of the year.
Tetris Effect. That's the VR game.
There was a lot of, I won't say reboots, even though the category is called Best Reboot, but it's like spiritual successors.
Right, yeah. Revival, let's say. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of franchises that hadn't really been touched in a while that were brought back in the last year, and of which God of War is the best.
Yeah.
It's not just a change in setting, it's a change in gameplay.
Yeah.
It's a change in the way that the camera stuff's done.
Yeah.
They're much lauded and, celebrated no camera cut philosophy to that game. From the time you turn it on to the time it's finished, it never changes the camera angle. Like the old games were always known for putting the camera in a very dramatic position so you can see a big god guy here and everything.
Right,
This game never does that.
Yeah. It's always over the shoulder.
It's locked right behind you.
Locked right behind you.
And if you remember, fans of the show, the first like 5 or 6 hours that I played this game, I didn't like it.
You didn't like it at all,
That game starts very slowly. Yeah. I think for subsequent playthroughs, I still think I would not like it very much. That the axe that you begin the game with, when it's not powered, it's basically just you throwing it out, waiting for it to come back.
Yeah.
Throwing it out, waiting for it to come back.
Right.
And, you know, it's basically Thor the video game.
Yeah.
And, but like, not like a good Thor the video game. But that game, it has missteps.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the, like, too precious narrative kind of stuff of like, you know, how many cutscenes do we have to see where he'd reach out for his son and this, and not touch him? Like, or like, I think it goes on too long when the kid finds out he's a god.
Right.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers.
He finds out he's a god.
I mean, you look.
There's
going to
be some spoilers.
Right. Statements. It's like, look who his dad is. Like, is that really a spoiler? I mean, whatever. Anyway. So.
But I think some of that goes on too long.
Right.
But they also added gameplay ramifications for that. Like when you and him are in that fight.
Right.
In your argument, and then you go into combat.
Yeah,
when you start commanding him to shoot arrows, sometimes he won't.
He won't do it,
Or he'll just start shooting out of nowhere, and then it's like, I don't have any arrows I can shoot on because he already wasted them.
Because he wasted all of them.
It does affect the game, but like, I think for the dramatic shift that that game takes that universe, nothing else comes close.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's so good looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's really funny to think about now, considering the success of that Santa Monica studio over time, it's been one of Sony's best studios for like the last 15 years.
Yeah.
This was apparently kind of a make or break game for them.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
They brought, because they hadn't put out a game this generation.
Yeah, it's true.
They brought Corey Barlog back, and it was basically, this is it, guys.
It's like, it was their Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
It's like,
because I'm weird, I guess.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't like Ascension. I didn't like Ascension.
Yeah.
I didn't like God of War 3.
Yeah, yeah.
God of War 2's the one.
God of War 2 is my favorite of the franchise, easily.
And it's the one that Corey Barlog directed.
Yeah.
It's the most even. Mm-hmm. It's got the best pacing. Mm-hmm. It's got the best puzzles.
Yeah.
You know, it's the best game in that series. God of War 3 is just a movie.
It is. It's very much. God of War 3 is the climactic. This, you want to see him kill him the god, that's what it is. And it's precisely that, but it's not as polished as 2. It just isn't. It's not quite and all they really do is just like, oh, and now you have some new weapons. Use those. That's it. That's all they really add to it.
Well, in God of War 3, like, not to harp on about a game that's like 7 years old now, but, you know, like, the thing I really took umbrage with that game
Sure.
is that God of War 2, there's some nuance in there. There's betrayal. There's there's a lot of stuff that happens in that game. Stripping him of his god powers. Yeah. The trip back to Hades.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuance in there. Mm-hmm. God of War 3, I can sum up the story with, I'm mad!
Basically.
That's the whole story.
It is. Like basically, you get the gist of the whole story by the end of 2.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. He doesn't have an arc.
All I have to do is go kill my father.
He literally kills the gods and floods the world. Like, he kills everything. Yeah. Like, which is why this reboot, I think, has a lot to say, because here's his redemption story. Here's him, you know, in a very... Again, you take the camera, you put it right behind this guy. This guy who was literally the god of everything and killed it all and brought the world to its knees, brought the flood, you know, and then, like, is now... just a man with his kid.
Well, and it's very interesting.
Obviously, he's a god, but still, you know.
Well, and I was actually going to touch on that. And the thing that I like so much about this game that it's one area that I think they nail it.
Yeah,
is Kratos doesn't walk or act as a god.
Yes,
because he repeatedly tells his son they're not to be trusted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think they do a good job with that.
The immediate thing of the wife being, again, spoilers, but this is right at the beginning, the wife being dead and you're burning her and it always comes back to ashes. You know, that's that whole, like...
The trip in the boat.
Yes! Oh my God! Yes!
Yeah, that was the trip in the boat where you can't be surprised by this, but it is like, it's a mid-game reveal.
It's a mid-game reveal.
Where you have to go get your blades back.
Yeah.
You have to go to that place.
You have to go back.
And it's like, there's this boat ride where, like, it's this torrent of emotions.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's you confronting, you know, your mind's ghost of Athena.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, it's him accepting that he has to do the thing he doesn't want to do.
Right.
Because it's what's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just think that game, for every time it slips and falls right on its goddamn face, it's one of the best games of the year, and it might be one of the best video games ever made.
Woo! That's a tall order.
It's just so good.
Yeah.
I wish the front half of that game was better.
Yeah.
Because if it was, we're talking like Mount Rushmore video game.
Yeah, I think they just had trouble kind of introducing people to the new style of gameplay in a way.
Well,
and they wanted to make sure it wasn't too jolting, so they just took it slow. Maybe it was too slow. They didn't quite...
The reveal of the blades, so. If I... Every single person I talk to, if they say like, I don't know, man, the beginning of this game's rough, I'm like... Mm-hmm. Don't do any side stuff.
Right. Just
get straight to the blades.
Keep going. Yeah, keep going.
And then spend your time doing other stuff.
Right.
Once you get the blades,
that
game is so much better.
Yeah.
And by then, once you get to the point where you get the blades, you've done enough missions where you've got all these upgrade points.
Yeah.
You can start dumping into your axe to make your axe really fun to use.
Yeah.
Because that's the problem, is that the axe sucks.
Yeah, the auto recall, like making it good is like a good part of that game.
So yeah,
like,
chucking the axe, changing to the blade, changing back to the axe as you catch it.
Taking his axe back. Yeah,
game has it. There's an ebb and a flow to the combat in that thing. It's so satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a...
Good stuff.
What a fucking reboot.
Reboot of the year.
Yeah, I want another one.
There we go. Boom.
All right, I think we've only got one negative category here, so let's go ahead and get that out of the way.
Let's get that
worst
out.
Trend.
Worst trend.
Nintendo's online service sucks.
Yeah. Is it?
Shouldn't be a paid service.
It shouldn't be a paid service. Is it ever going to get good? Is their online thing ever going to be good?
No.
I don't know why that culture.
Well, here's the problem. They don't have dedicated voice chat. I know it's only $20. I get it. But that's $20 more than it should be.
Yeah. And
the issue that I really have is that games that had any kind of online leaderboard support, they put that gate in front of all that stuff.
Yeah.
So even like the jump rope minigame in Mario Odyssey, I have to have the online service to even see what my friends got now.
Yeah.
It's how much fucking server data does that take?
Not a lot.
A number and a name is that big of a deal. Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be even fine if I could just compare with my friends, but to get the global rankings, But, like, it's the fact that they took all this functionality and taking the online multiplayer out.
Right.
Because they had said from the beginning, this was just a, you know, this is just your first taste is free
right.
on the Splatoon 2 online, and then, right. you know, you'll have to pay for it later. I get it. I right. do. But their service isn't good.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, when fucking Smash Brothers came out, I played a couple of rounds of Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And their netcode is fine, but it's not like it's, you know, predictive rollback, like GGPO kind of shit. No, sure. it's just decent online.
It functions.
Like, it doesn't feel like a service you should pay for.
Right, yeah.
It's just a shame. Yeah. I don't think it was... I don't think there's anybody that will say it was well thought out.
For every good few steps Nintendo takes, they always take one backwards.
And it's usually to do with the goddamn internet.
It's always internet. They never are good at internet. They're so bad at it every time.
Well, it's like, look at the virtual console that they had on the Wii.
Right.
Amazing idea.
Yeah.
Amazing execution in a lot of ways.
Yes.
But they eventually had to find a way to fuck it up.
Yeah.
And then they just went like 3 years without putting any games on it.
Without putting anything on it. Yeah. It's like, eh.
I mean, it's just this thing that it's a button that you can go look at it, but there's nothing new in there.
It's like someone said, we got to put new games on it. But we put games on it the past 3 years. Yeah, we got to keep putting things on it.
Wait, what?
Eh. But do we, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Oh,
but
man.
You know, I guess when you're the people, you know, what makes the Mario, you're used to just it shitting cash at you. But yeah, I think their online service just fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I bought a 3 month card. I felt like a goddamn sucker.
you sucker.
I don't think that their stuff, like the free NES games,
right.
are fine. I don't think catalogs ain't good.
No.
I mean, it's like, dude, I mean, I guess I need another place to play Mario 3, I guess.
Maybe, yeah. It's like, that's the thing. Is, I don't know. The cat, like, yeah, what do they put on? They put the classic. They put a lot of classics on the catalog.
Don't they? At this point, it's almost basically what was on the NES Classic is what's on there. Except less of the third-party stuff.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, you can get Bubble Bobble and Mario 1 through 3. And...
But yeah, it sucks. Their online thing sucks.
Yeah, I mean, so, I don't want to sit here and just drag them through the mud. But, like...
I'll do it. Like, fuck you, Nintendo.
Well, and I guess you could also tie this into worst trend. Like, yeah, there were a lot of good Switch games this year. Mm-hmm. None of them were made by Nintendo.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck are they doing? Like, how do you have a year like you did in 2017?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the best Mario Kart?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it was just an improved version of that.
Yeah, they're developing stuff right now, though. So, you know, I thought they were going to have a dedicated... You had the Pokemon games come out, but those were the Eevee and the
Yeah, and those are basically just remakes of Red and Blue.
But they're just remakes of Red and Blue.
I hear it's quite good.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think I ever want to play Pokemon again.
Yeah, I don't need to. I'm not... All right. What's the best trend of this year, though?
Yeah, the best trend of this year, I would say, I think this won it last year, but it continues to get better. The Xbox backwards compatibility continues to be great. The original Xbox stuff all works super well.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, surprising. I think it was, like, the week before I left for my wedding. I was just pulling original Xbox games off the wall, and I'm like, ooh, a copy of Crimson Skies. And their backwards compatibility with the 360 stuff is great. Mm-hmm. Some of them are actually what they call enhanced games that run at, like, 4K resolution and stuff like that.
Right.
Like every original Xbox game is 4K. They all have new lighting and, like, bloom stuff and enhanced anti-aliasing so they don't look like a jaggy mess.
Right. Like, it's just a thing that's blown up to a larger size.
Well, to anybody who's plugged, say, an original Xbox into a modern television, you're like, these games look like shit! and it's not that they look like shit, it's modern TVs just can't deal with it.
Right.
But, like, their backwards compatibility stuff just makes those games look like you remember.
Yeah.
Their backwards compatibility, it's setting themselves up where, and I feel like I've been saying this ever since it looked like the tide of generations was going to shift here soon.
Yeah.
Microsoft's putting themselves in a really good position for when next hardware comes out.
Like, yeah.
They're really being the nice guys.
Right. Yeah.
Which makes me think they're about to not be the nice guys. But, yeah, they're putting themselves in a position where, say, an Xbox 2, or whatever they want to call this next thing.
Xbox the next one.
Yeah, if it's still backwards compatibility, if all that stuff rolls over, like, I would assume it should.
Yeah.
They're putting themselves in a position where, yeah, especially because they bought, like, 7 or 8 studios this year. You know, they just bought Obsidian. And, you know, like, the big-name studios.
Yeah.
They are putting themselves in a situation where they could shock the world and make a comeback.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of that's contingent on these studios that they bought putting out good games.
Yeah.
Because Sony has proven here recently between God of War and Spider-Man and all that stuff, like, they're not slowing down.
They're not putting out crap, that's for sure.
Even though that, shit, what's that game called? The game that looks like Sons of Anarchy with zombies.
Oh, yeah.
That game looks like shit.
That looks like garbage.
That game looks like shit.
What was that thing called? I can't even remember. Dead Hand or something? I don't even fucking remember what it was.
Suck It, the sequel, I don't know. I think Sony is setting a pace that it's going to be hard for Microsoft to catch, but, this backwards compatibility stuff gives you a welcome distraction in the meantime.
Yeah, agreed, yeah.
So, best graphics.
Best graphics.
I don't think there's a conversation to have here.
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption 2 is the best looking game of the year.
Yeah, yeah. You might be able to argue, I would say, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, because that's a gorgeous looking game. But, yeah, Red Dead just...
The scale
of it. How much of there is sandbox looking that good. Pretty crazy.
Just the way that, like, on a muddy day, the way that the mud will slowly creep up your jeans. And, like, the previous game had, like, a mountain lion jumped out and killed me.
Right.
And this thing, it's not just, like, dumb pop-scary kind of stuff that will happen with the wilderness. No, the buffalo will flock in the way that animals naturally would to get to fresher grass.
Right,
The way that, like, a horse that's not tied up will kind of meander around and not really know what to do. And, the way that, like, flocks of birds will fly through the sky.
Yeah.
Owls swooping down and picking up rats. And eating them in air.
You'll hear wolves, like, coming from the background and everything when they're about to, you'll kind of hear them off in the background and, like, oh, crap, there's wolves around. So,
there's a lot that goes into the presentation of Red Dead Redemption 2 that... If you think this is this is what games will look like in the future, you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to take the time to do this other than somebody who's got limitless money.
Yeah, which is Rockstar. They have more money than God, and they will...
And from what, was coming out about that game, it sounds like the reason why they had the time to do all this is that the narrative just hadn't fully taken shape yet, so the team that was designing all these assets...
Right.
It was just, maybe we'll make more birds. You guys want to make more birds?
You want to get birds? Birds out there. Birds will do a thing.
You want to make another town?
There's a good bit that my buddy Mitch, he's been playing that game, and he's trying to get all the achievements or whatever, and one of them was to get win 5 hands of blackjack while doubling down. he's basically showing 20, and he's like, fuck. hit me. It's like, sir? The game was almost like, what? Just hit me, all right? It's like, and you bust. Yep, that's how that works, so. Yeah.
But the, the game is... Yep.
Solid. I mean, it's a
from a graphical beautiful. Perspective.
From a graphical perspective, and
I don't fucking like the way that game plays.
It's a lot of slow play, and it's very deliberate in that manner. So
my life doesn't work that way anymore.
Oh yeah, for sure. I get it. I understand exactly why. But it's interesting.
And this is a subjective list, damn it.
Yeah, it's true. It is a subjective list.
Best music will be our last superlative category.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good music in a lot of games here.
Tetris
is very good. Yeah. That music is very good, but it didn't win.
Yeah.
Donut County won. I love the sound and the music and the score of Donut County. That soundtrack, I found it on Spotify.
Yeah.
So for like a week after Sam beat the game.
Yeah.
I was just walking around listening to the Donut County soundtrack on my phone.
There you go.
It was great. Yeah. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've ever done that other than Doom in 2016.
Yeah.
Which still gets some play out of me. I still like that soundtrack a lot.
There we go.
But yeah, Donut County is very relaxed, very groovy.
Nice.
What a soundtrack. And the fact that Ben Esposito basically made that game.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack and, like, everything to it. It's just, what a entire work by one guy.
Right.
You know, it's as close to, you know, like, true art.
Yeah.
As I think the medium has gotten in a while. For a goofy game about a raccoon named BT.
Yeah.
That sends duck emojis in text messages and thinks he's delivering donuts with a hole in the ground. It's, what a fucking weird game. Play Donut County.
It's adorable.
And listen to the soundtrack.
It's adorable. So.
But now it's time for our top 10 list.
Mm-hmm. Now it is time for the Video Struck Top 10.
Some of these should come as no surprise. Some of these...
at the exact 1 hour mark. Good timing.
There we go.
There we go.
Number 10 on the Video Destruct Game of the Year list is going to be Mega Man 11.
Woo! Mega Man making the list. So
they made a good Mega Man game.
Yeah, those existed a while ago.
30 years ago?
It's a long time
been
ago.
Been a bit?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like,
I would include X, but yeah.
So I think Mega Man
20 years
that
ago.
That was still 25?
Still 25 years ago, yeah.
Like, been a bit.
Been a little while, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. But yeah, I think as somebody who, that was my first sit down and I'm going to figure out what this Mega Man's all about experience.
Sure.
I picked a good one.
Yeah, you did.
I liked it a lot.
Really solid game.
I think it looks great. I think the soundtrack grew on me.
Yeah.
I didn't like it at first.
I might have to have that grow on me. Nothing really popped at me on that one. It was kind of...
It's good accompaniment. It's not something like Donut County where I would listen to it separately.
Sure.
But it just sounds like... It flows well with the action that's on screen.
Sure.
I guess
is
a good way for me to put that.
Yeah,
I think it's...
Yeah.
It's a hell of a package. Mm-hmm. I was worried that, like, if you put out something that only had as much content as, say, a Mega Man 2 today and tried to get $60 out of it, I think you'd get laughed out of the building.
Yeah.
That's not enough content.
Right.
You know, compared to what you get in games now.
Yeah, it has to be a $30 game at the very
most.
But
I feel like the levels were long.
Yeah.
They
were. They were much longer. They were several more screens than typical.
Yeah.
Two checkpoints, two mini bosses, I think, every level. Yeah, so they stretched it as much as they could, I think.
Yeah, and but without
it wasn't to where it didn't feel like a Mega Man game anymore. Yeah. So,
well, and you weren't trying to make Dark Souls.
Yeah.
You know,
like, exactly. Yeah.
They didn't try to change it.
Yes.
You know, this is not Mega Man ZX.
Right.
You know, like whatever.
Right.
No, this is a Mega Man-ass Mega Man game. Mm-hmm. And I think if they would have changed the formula much more than they did, it shouldn't have that number next to it.
Yeah.
But no, they did.
They did.
And to the best of my knowledge, as somebody who doesn't play a lot of Mega Man, it's the only game of this millennium so far that deserves the Mega Man name on it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that entirely. There we go.
But yeah, number nine.
Number nine.
Game I didn't talk a ton about just because I was slowly chipping away at it over the course of like the last 4 months.
But you did enjoy it a lot.
Hell fucking yeah! Dragon Quest XI!
Dragon Quest XI. So, two 11s made it on this list.
As I was making the list, I'm
like,
huh.
Look at that.
Dragon Quest XI is fucking great.
Yes.
Listeners of the show know that over the course of like the last 2.5 years, I have been playing Dragon Quest games in my free time on the DS.
Yeah.
So I played through 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
And 10 never came to the US. It was that weird MMO thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then now I'm not quite done with 11 yet.
Okay.
Basically, I'm trying to mop up a bunch of stuff, but
right.
I played enough of that game to feel like that it deserves all the accolades in the world. It is a great JRPG. In a world where Square felt like Final Fantasy XV had to be so different, it's nice to see that, like, oh, this is just one of those.
It's one of those old JRPGs.
And they only put one out every 5 or 6 years, so it's not like, oh, this old, dust off this old chestnut here or anything. No, it's
not like a Madden title.
We're not annualizing the Dragon Quest series. Thank God.
Thank God.
I don't know if I've got 70 hours a year that I can devote to this thing.
It's true.
But yeah, like, it follows in the modern tradition of Square Enix games, where it's got a really good PC port.
Mm-hmm.
It's on PlayStation.
Yeah.
So there's a variety of places that you can play it. It's got an art style that Akira Toriyama.
There you go.
Look at me and all my anime knowledge.
Look at that. Yeah.
But yeah, it's his art style holds through, and that makes that game super scalable. So I mean, even if you're sitting there with a laptop from 5 or 6 years ago, I bet that game would run just fine.
There you go.
But at 4K at a billion frames per second, it looks really good there too.
Looks real good in that.
Yeah, it's got a story that's super par for the course, but I love the way that it juxtapositions itself. There's a very the game's funny.
Yeah. Right.
Which I like. The game also has new control mechanics to it, where you can just, like, hop on random animals in the world and ride them.
Oh.
There's guys that'll be patrolling. You can straight up just avoid all combat if you want to. If you're just trying to go do a thing, it's not that click random battle thing.
Yeah, there are
enemies on the board, like Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, Chrono Trigger and Earthbound. Yeah,
yeah, it has that approach to it. So, like, later on when I'm just trying to mop stuff up and I'm totally over-leveled for these guys, I'm just walking past everybody, especially if you hop on an animal and ride it.
Yeah.
You're way faster than anybody. They're not going to catch you.
Right.
It just makes that game feel smooth.
Yeah.
In a way where something like Octopath Traveler, a game I also really liked this year,
right,
is so beholden to it's slavish.
To the random encounter. It's like, this is FF6. Like, this is what this is.
And so, with as much as they change, like, boss fights, where, like, you know, a lot of boss fights in that are about getting enemies, you know, in Octopath is what I'm speaking to.
Yeah.
You know, their only addition to that formula is that you need to keep a lot of guys staggered. Like, a lot of bosses and Octopaths, they hit you once you're dead.
Right, yeah. So you just gotta keep them.
So it's all about keeping them staggered, keeping them staggered.
Right.
Whereas, like, Dragon Quest XI is comfortable at just being, you know what's nice? Just kind of laying down on a couch, playing a little Dragon Quest.
Right, yeah.
You know, the game is never in your face. If there is something, that game is a little easy.
Sure.
But I think that you don't get as successful in Japan without accessibility.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it probably is like a comfort thing. You know, it's like, it's a Dragon Quest game. Go pick it up. You're not going to feel tense playing this. Like, you're going to feel good.
And that game's
like,
coming to the Switch next year, and that'll be a great game to lay in a bed, lay in a couch.
It's cozy. It's a cozy game.
Yeah, get you a little cup of cocoa and some Dragon Quest XI.
Dragon Quest XI.
This holiday season.
A little marshmallow in there.
Merry Christmas, you motherfuckers.
Merry Christmas, bitch.
But yeah, I love Dragon Quest XI. Cool. If you have any kind of passing interest in old school JRPGs, this is one that you kind of can't skip. Whereas Octopath, I feel is largely optional to all but the most 16-bit purists. I feel like Dragon Quest XI is one that you can't skip, which is why it made it on the list, and Octopath was just barely on the outside looking in, even though I loved that fucking game. But yeah, number eight. Celeste.
Celeste. Loved this game. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. Celeste is a
puzzle platformer?
It's a puzzle platformer. If you're familiar with something like a Meat Boy, this is very much in that that same ilk. But this game also does things with story that I really like. Near the end, there's a lot of stuff with mental illness and depression and things like that. The game doesn't thrust in your face.
No.
It leaves it up to you to think about.
Yeah.
And I thought that game was so satisfying. And, like, you know, there were points in that game where, you know, I pop into... it's a platform in the sense of it's square by square.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, you come into a scene, and then there'll be a series of puzzles that you need to go, and then you can see where the exit is.
Yeah.
But then there will also be a alternate path where you can get a strawberry.
Get the strawberry.
And it's way fucking harder to get those goddamn things.
Yes.
Exiting
is way easier. Advancing the game is way easier than the challenge of getting the strawberry every time.
But yeah, it's it just looks true to an 8-bit style.
But
most of what I would describe as games that are trying to do 8-bit usually look like 16-bit.
Yeah.
This game's color palette, I feel like, is much truer to 8-bit.
Yeah.
It looks like something that would be at home, like a Fairchild Channel F or an MSX. Or even one of the black box NES games, like the super early NES games like the ports of like Donkey Kong Jr. and stuff like that.
Right.
This looks like it could be contemporary to that, but its gameplay is that fucking balls hard modern platforming stuff that, you know, as I said earlier, made stuff like Meat Boy, you know, so popular.
It really harkened back for me for VVVV. That's very VVVV in a lot of ways. So
yes, it's that game does a lot with, I'll say, character manipulation of just every platform is just far enough that if you jump at the right angle and do your boost, you can maybe land.
Yeah,
and it's all about it's you.
Yeah,
it's your skill.
Yeah,
that truly matters in that game, and it's just it's a hell of a fucking thing.
Yeah, it's a good ride.
I can't wait to go back and get the rest of the strawberries. I'm still playing Celeste. That game is it's got such a good soundtrack too.
Yeah, you'll beat it one day. You get all those strawberries one day.
Oh yeah, I've beaten it, but like, until I get every last strawberry, I'm not done.
Not done with it yet.
And I'll continue to grind on that thing.
Yeah.
The next game on the list we've talked a bit about already, Tetris Effect.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about how great the VR mode is. We talked a little bit about the music.
Yes.
But like as an entire package, Tetris Effect is the other than maybe Tetris DS, it's the only Tetris game since Tetris for the Game Boy that I've really ever given a lot of time to, because I played so much Tetris on the Game Boy that, you know, like, everything else was just more Tetris.
Yeah.
You know, there have been things here and there, like Tetris Worlds, they had that four-player online mode that I liked. And
sure.
Puyo Puyo Tetris Puyo, Puyo is Tetris. Pretty good.
Yeah.
But, like, really, it's the Puyo Puyo that I like in that more than anything.
Interesting, okay.
I'm a Puyo guy.
Yeah, Puyo's pretty fun. Yeah.
Yes.
The idea of switching is just kind of amazing, so.
Yeah. I mean, as we've said many times, I was a Sega kid growing up, and Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine was the shit.
That's right. That's very true.
Fuck anybody that doesn't like Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Best Sonic game.
Yes. You know, it might be.
Might be, actually. It's probably not all.
Real good.
It's probably not all.
No, but like Tetris Effect is, it's Tetsuya Mizuguchi taking something that was so well-worn and tired.
Right.
If you want to see a franchise that looks fucking tired, look at the Ubisoft-made Tetris game for the PS4 that came out a few years ago.
God,
what a fucking barren piece of shit that they just farted out there to get fucking $15 out of you schlubs. And then look at what they did with Tetris Effect.
It's true.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like transcendent. Mm-hmm. It has this amazing soundtrack. It's all of the skins in the game, with the exception of one that trips my colorblindness a bit. Like, they all look so good. The music, it swells. Every time that you rotate a block, it adds a beat that will alter the soundtrack just a little bit.
Just a little bit, yeah.
And it's just, it all comes together to the point where sometimes I would just jam the rotate button just to continue to add to the soundtrack.
Right.
So good.
Very
like,
cool.
What a fucking amazing Tetris game.
It harkened back, again, back to me. It harkened back to me the idea, when they upgraded Pac-Man. The Pac-Man the reboot.
Yeah, Championship Edition and Championship Edition DX are, you know, and even to a lesser extent, something like Galaga Legions.
Yeah, just a crazy visual style. It's very much that sort of thing.
But at its core, haven't really changed the foundation.
Yeah, it's still Tetris,
And this is a very, very good Tetris.
There we go.
Boom. You know, it's no Tetris Sphere for the Nintendo 64, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Number 6 is a surprise for me.
Why?
I don't know. I don't remember you mentioned this one too much.
I played this on my honeymoon.
Okay.
A lot. Like, it was right before I left. WarioWare Gold came out.
Yeah.
And WarioWare Gold is... I'm worried about WarioWare Gold.
Yeah? Why?
Because it's basically every Wario games, mini games all together.
Right.
And it makes me feel like this is their send-off of, like, buy WarioWare. No! Make more WarioWare.
You need to make more Wario.
WarioWare Gold is, as I said, it's basically every mini game from every Wario game ever together. It's like over 90 micro games all together. Super great. And also, once you unlock everything and you complete all of the little mini episodes in there,
right?
There's a mode in that game where it will rapid fire throw everything to you. So this one's a drawing one. This one's a tilting one. This one's a button press one. And it'll start throwing it to you faster, and to the point where you can actually, if you tilt the 3DS up or down, you can speed up or slow down the speed. It'll start giving you these things. It's just so good.
That's cool.
It's is still charming, and yeah. Wario's got that stupid turnip head, and I love him. make another Rhythm Heaven, and then make another WarioWare.
Yeah.
These guys make the best minigame compilations.
Yeah, it's a solid series, I would say.
And
yeah.
it's if that ends up being, you know, between that and Detective Pikachu, like, the send-off for 3DS.
Sure, yeah.
That will go down as one of the best systems of all time.
There you go.
And that's a hell of a way to end it, because, man, fucking WarioWare Gold, man.
Yeah.
If you got a 3DS,
right,
you should play it.
More of those. Yep, there you go.
Number five.
You
kind of gave me a squinty face when you looked at the list.
No, I was just kind of like that high, that it was that high on your list. You've talked about this game and how much it is, and your reasoning behind it was very good, but your number five... Donut County, yeah. Yeah. I was kind of just surprised that it made it that high on your list, that's all.
So, like I said earlier, it's, you know, for this to be a singular activity of one man,
mm-hmm.
The awesome text messaging kind of stuff in there that gives you so much of the expository kind of stuff
right.
in there, but it all has so much personality. You know, I've heard this said in, like, a negative way, but I think it's a super positive.
Yeah.
The conversation stuff in that game feels like Night in the Woods.
Yeah.
Which I really like.
Yeah.
This game, it's so relaxing. It's one button.
Yeah.
And a thumbstick.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, like my wife, who doesn't play video games.
Yeah.
Play that wanted game. To play this game.
Yeah.
And I think that says more than I could say.
Yeah.
It's solid all
again,
around.
Again, anything that's, you know, anything that's that goes to the idea of why can't I think of the name? The Rolly game, but Katamari Damacy. Yeah, it's just like it's very much that.
And maybe this is the kind of thing, and its moderate success will make them make a new Katamari, because they have that Katamari Rerolled, which is the remaster of the first game.
That's true. Yeah,
it's out on Switch and PC now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the world's ready for another Katamari.
Yeah. When we were talking about, like, you know, most original art and stuff like that, I think this is one of the games that really hits it too. Like,
yeah.
Like Donut County. This is very interesting. It's very very cool. It sort of reminds me of Ultimate Chicken Horse in a way, the art design. But it's like got a gravity to it. It has gravity to it, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Got,
and it's the kind of thing that's everybody is so expressive.
Yeah.
With
limited looks too, because there's no like Mira doesn't have a face.
No.
But you don't miss it. You don't like because you don't need it. It's like the expressions are very well done.
Yeah, it's just really a hell of a thing.
Made your top five. That's awesome.
Like, I always have one game that, like...
That's true.
...is always, like... It's either touchy-feely, you know, or it's just something that's so transparently a game. And
yeah.
I think this is the thing that... It makes no bones about itself. It's just a video game.
Yeah.
And it's very good at it.
Yeah.
So number four...
Yeah.
We've talked about it a few times already. God of War.
Yes.
You know, I had expressed my few caveats with the game earlier. I think the start was very slow. I think the game doesn't necessarily really hit its stride until about 5 or 6 hours through.
Right.
But man, once it does, once you encounter the World Serpent, and once he talks to you in basically huge bass tones.
Yeah.
Which is fucking great.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, it's fucking, it's great. Dude who's on your hip.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Dude who's, oh yeah, yeah, I forget his name. Yeah.
Mora, whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I also like the way that he only drip feeds you enough information at a time, because he just kind of assumes that you know.
Yeah.
I love the twists and turns that the story takes, especially the final stinger right at the end of that game.
Yeah.
It opens, like, I'm dying to see what the next God of War is.
Yeah.
Give me that now.
Right? Yeah.
it's the best looking game on the PS4.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's the best looking console exclusive game.
Yeah. And like you said, it's sort of rebranded to, like, it brought it in a new direction, like, almost immediately. The first big trailer, when you see the World Serpent. And, like, you know, like, he's like, oh, stand back, and he draws his weapon, and your kid's like, hold on, he wants to help us. And you're like, oh, What? He's like, you're not there to just kill the big thing, you know? It's
the kid,
like,
the kid speaks God.
Yeah, there's more things here. Like, yeah. There's more than just, like, oh, I have to kill the big thing.
Yes.
And then kill the bigger thing. You know?
If this was another game of Kratos going, oh, I'm so angry! Like, I would have just washed right out, man. Like, and it wasn't even the Greek mythology aspect of it. It was fucking one-dimensional they had made this character that was designed to have depth.
Yeah, like the very beginning of the series, he's despondent.
He's all depth.
He's despondent and like there's no reason.
This is the man that's trying to kill himself at the opening of the original game.
Yeah, it's like there's so much to him and then they placate him out to being nothing.
Yeah, it did nothing with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really, really was blown away by this game in a way that I rarely am.
Yeah,
it's one drawback is because of its slow pacing.
Yeah,
I don't think I'll ever play this game again.
Right? Yeah, because you don't want to regrind that first bit. Yeah.
Well, that first bit's so slow, and also that game doesn't really come into its own until you have everything.
Yeah,
but I do think it's an experience that every single person that owns a PlayStation. Mm. If you haven't played that game, what the fuck are you doing? it's amazing.
What are you doing? Into the top three now.
Yeah, number three is gonna is easy for me to pick.
Yeah,
because it's I would also put this up for like comeback of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Forza Horizon 4.
Forza Horizon.
Forza Horizon 4. You know, anybody who knows me knows that I really like the Forza games, mm-hmm. but that in recent years. They've been kind of on the skids.
Yeah.
Skids.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible.
It's clever.
Wasn't even intentional. hang on, let me downshift to this next topic. Now, Forza Horizon 4 fixes a lot of the pacing issues. You know, we talked a lot about map vomit.
Yeah.
Back when the game came out. It kind of spoon feeds you through this game at a level of progression that makes you feel like you're doing something.
Yeah.
And you're going somewhere, and the environments look so good. The PC support is amazing.
Yeah.
The Xbox version of it looks great. Yeah. You know, I've got it on my Xbox for my wife to play. I've got it on my PC for me to play. The seasonal change stuff, like your cars actually drive different.
Yeah.
The variety of cars, I think, is spot on.
Yeah.
You know, you really feel like, you know, this one takes place in England and, you know, there's so many more, like, old Astons and stuff like that, like, you would assume you'd find.
Yeah.
In this area. So it's not just like, oh, there's a bunch of muscle cars. Like, yeah, they're in there. But the game features a lot of English automobiles.
Right.
Like Alphas and Astons and stuff like that, you know, like McLarens. You know, the things that you really associate with that kind of era, it looks so good.
Yeah.
And it's something that I continue to return to. The first DLC just came out. I haven't had a chance to start it yet, so I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Tonight I'll probably actually start playing that, and I can't wait to play more.
Yeah.
That's a game that's, you know, their Forzathon stuff is really good.
Right.
Every hour on the hour.
Yeah.
It's a group activity that you can all go do together.
Right.
This game isn't about competing with one another. It's a game that's all about co-op. Everything in this game is co-op.
Right.
So if I'm in a convoy with JT and some of our other friends, and we go and we start a race, we're not racing each other.
Right.
We're on a team against a team of AI.
Right.
You know, it's fun and it's cooperative and it's not worried about. Like, I wish the game surfaced a little bit more of things like lap times and stuff like that, but it shaved all of that away. Kind of in the same way that something like Overwatch doesn't show you kill death.
Yeah.
Because this Forza is just worried about being fun and fun for everybody.
Right.
And I think that's a hell of an achievement. Forza Horizon 3 was my biggest disappointment the year that it came out.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was going to like it so much.
Yeah.
And I abandoned it after about a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And that has not happened. This game came out in October and I'm still playing it.
Yeah. There you go. Lots to do.
Yeah. So, and I'll continue to play this game well into 2019.
Boom, there. Forza Horizon 4.
All right, number two and number one was a Sophie's choice. It was like, which of my children do I want to die?
They don't have to die, it's just one's not going to be as good as the other. That's all.
One's going to get the coveted Video Destructi.
Yeah.
That's the other, what we're calling our trophies.
Absolutely.
The Destructis.
The Destructis. And the other one's going to just kind of get the that you tried. Yeah. Like, well,
it's going to get the occasional reference of me. Like, remember when that almost won game?
Yeah, yeah. But they were very close in your eyes, you said. They're very much...
So, at number two is the follow-up, the unlikely follow-up to 2016's Video Destruct Game of the Year, Hitman.
Hitman.
This being the titular Hitman 2.
Yeah. Yes.
Hitman 2 is...
Hitman 6.
You are really upset that it's called Hitman 2.
I'm so angry. Anyway.
This game ditches the episodic format that the previous game has.
Yes.
You know, it didn't look like this game was actually going to be able to get made.
Right.
Square Enix was going to sell or shutter the studio after the mild success that Hitman 1 had.
Right.
But no, they actually were able to pull together enough cash to buy themselves and the Hitman property away from Square Enix.
Yeah.
Which is shocking.
Right, yeah.
Not since Bungie divested themselves from Microsoft has anything like this happened.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that was...
Where a developer bought their own game away from their publisher.
And they were able to keep the tools that they used to make the game.
Yeah.
And were able to breeze right into the next installment in the franchise. So, yeah, right. Hitman 2 is one of the most unlikely games of 2018. But it doesn't just... It's not content with just being more Hitman.
Yeah.
It is very funny. Mm-hmm. Its writing is so good.
Yeah.
Its item descriptions are fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
It's got the magic briefcase.
Yeah.
That will fucking follow people around walls and
shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's got super cocaine in it.
Mm-hmm. It's got super cocaine. It's got the robot that will shoot or choke the person if you scan their face.
Yep.
It's got good stuff.
It's so funny.
It has Sean Bean.
It does.
Discussing with you how you would kill him.
Yeah. It's very good.
Because Sean Bean knows he always dies in something good.
Yeah. So. I love how uncomfortable his character is.
Yeah.
He knows something.
He knows something's going to happen. He's like, how would you kill me? And you're like, well, I'd probably do all this.
Yeah, it's... And the great thing is, it doesn't just act as a sequel to Hitman 2.
Yeah.
If you've got a digital version of Hitman 1, it will bring all of those levels into this game to give you a complete experience that is Hitman 1 and 2 together.
Right.
But it also adds all the new gameplay mechanic stuff, the reflective surfaces that guards can see, and all kinds of stuff that just makes this... If this is where Hitman stops...
Right.
Which I hope it's not.
Right.
But if this is where Hitman stops, they did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
They nailed it. Magnum opus has been achieved.
This is it. Their elusive target stuff is better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Every mission you're on, there's, between 30 to 60 modes of death for the targets in that level.
Yeah.
And I just keep going back to get the Master Assassin stuff for that because it's just so satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, it was really funny when I dressed up like that hippie and, put rat poison in the super cocaine and pushed that guy off a ledge.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
But you know what was also really good? Sneaking into that same guy's house where he's sick.
Yeah.
And poisoning his shot. And just, there's so much stuff in there that is...
Yeah.
I feel bad if somebody just started Hitman 2 or Hitman that came out in 2016 and just played through the missions all once, they would just go, it's okay, it's good looking, it runs all right.
Yeah.
But no, finding all the different stupid modes of murder in that game is the point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And just all the love and care that went into it. Also, the one other thing I will touch on is these levels are much bigger.
Right.
Than the levels that were in the previous game.
Yeah.
And it opens up so many more opportunities.
Yeah.
And it also makes the pathing for, a lot of characters so much bigger.
Right.
So it's not just, he goes to the lab, and then he goes to his room, and then he goes to the lab, and then he goes to his room.
Right.
They'll start going all over the grounds of these areas, so you can start setting up these really nicely well-laid plans, and then finally just pull out a gun and go, God damn it, just go back where you're supposed to be. And then kill him and run away.
Yeah.
I've done that a few times.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, Hitman 2 is so good.
Solid game.
It's so. It is the funniest game I've played all year.
Right.
And you feel like a fucking sociopath sitting at your desk at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, right, like, I've been setting up this kill for 45 minutes, and you kill somebody, and you're sitting there going,
did it.
Yeah.
All according to plan.
Yeah, it's almost like I made a poopy, and I want to show my wife, like, honey,
look at this.
I made a poopy in here.
I don't want to look at your poopy.
But, yeah, like, but there's only one game that can win our game of the year.
Funniest game, but not the best game you play, which is...
Dead Cells.
Yeah. The first game we talked about today.
Yep.
Circling back around. Yep.
Dead Cells is... I was wearing out on Metroidvanias.
Sure.
Because there's been so many.
It's been a lot. A lot of good ones.
Guacamelee 2 was really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just kind of more of that.
Right.
And, you know, I really like Hollow Knight.
Yeah.
But...
it was another one of those. Right, yeah.
Ori
and the Blind Forest. Good. That was not this year, but still.
No, like, but it's in recent memory. Like, there's been so many good Metroidvanias recently. But who would have thought that combining roguelike options and level progression with your randomly generated dungeons and Metroidvania-style progression would lead to something that's so addictive?
Yeah.
It's amazing the way that, like, your permanent unlocks work.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you can start dumping souls into a luck meter.
Yeah.
So that will increase your drop rates.
And
the
like
quality
that.
Of the drops.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every time that it's just this tiny little thing.
Yeah.
Every time you spawn, you spawn near all these hanging jars.
Yeah.
And as you continue to unlock things, it fills these jars.
Yeah.
And it's just so satisfying knowing, like, look at all those jars. I did that.
Look at those jars in there.
And it's so fun.
Yeah.
Like, I love the alternate pathing in it. It's almost like a Star Fox 64 kind of thing.
Right.
Where, if you go to the poison pits, those guys really suck.
Yeah.
But the drops there are fantastic.
Right.
And they all end up going to the same place.
Right, yeah.
But it's all about how you want to do it, the way that you start to progress.
Yeah.
You know, and the first time that you'll fight, like, a mini-boss, Jesus fucking Christ, these guys are insane.
Yeah.
But you continue to grind. Mm-hmm. You unlock more.
Right.
You get better
at better it. Things, yeah.
It's just, it's one of... you'll love or you'll hate the look.
Right.
If there's one thing that I find to be divisive about that game, a lot of people look at it and are turned off by it.
Really?
It's... the interesting thing about this game is that it looks like it's pixel-based.
Yeah.
It's actually 3D.
But it's 3D, it's 3D
The entire
models.
Game is made out of 3D models.
Yeah.
But they paint it in such a way that it looks like pixels.
Yeah.
So it makes this game snappy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not worried so much about hitboxes. It's true collision with enemies. So when you get hit, you know you got hit.
Right.
And it's just, it's this thing that, like, I continue to come back to. It's a drug.
Yeah.
I have to play more Dead Cells.
Yeah, yeah.
And every night I put at least one run in.
Man.
And I'm near the end of the progression, and the way that it starts to entice you with speed running the game. And getting there faster, to unlock doors that are time-based doors, that once you unlock those, you know, in your little waiting room in between levels where you can go and cash in your souls and stuff like that, you know, doors will start opening that will give you bonuses and secrets and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And the game is propulsive.
Right.
It beckons to you to just play me more, play me faster, you know, play me better, explore more, you know.
Right.
It's one of the most addictive games I've played in years, and, Dead Cells is Video Destruct Game of the Year.
Game of the Year. It's got the Destructy. Woo! Purr. I'm putting confetti in.
It was a hell of a year for video games. 2019 looks like it will potentially be the last full year before the new consoles.
Before the new consoles, yeah. Because we're gonna get Last of Us 2, and that's always...
maybe next year?
Maybe next year, and that's typically... that's the send-off for PlayStations, so, you know, that'll be the tradition, I guess, when it happens, so, you know.
I mean, Ghost of Tsushima won't be next year. I think that will be, I think that's going to be a launch game on the new system.
Yeah.
That game looks like it's a while off.
Yeah.
So Sony's still got a few guns left.
Yeah.
Microsoft's got a lot to prove.
We should talk about what we're excited for. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, the next episode we'll.
Yeah, because I'm excited for Indivisible. Indivisible looks looks like a lot of fun. Yeah.
There's some stuff that came out at the tail end of this year that I still haven't laid hands on with yet. Like, I want to play Ashen. I haven't
played Ashen, yeah.
The game looks very cool. Looks as a man who's way into his Dark Souls, it sounds like it's got that.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll talk about all that next time.
Yes.
But this is going to do it for 2018.
That's it for 2018. We're done. That means Video Destruct, we're entering a new season. So be prepared for a new look as well.
Yep.
Because I'm having another one of those moments where I want to rechange the look of it. So that happens every now and then around here. So be ready for the new look. It'll be up for next year, and we'll see you then. That's it. We gotta go. We're out of time. The year's over. Woo!
Cutthroat Island.
Thank you for listening, DNN.